Thank you for singing out so beautifully this morning. Good morning to those I didn't get a chance to greet earlier. My name is Brother Brad Harris. My family and I have come up from Vegas. We always enjoy an opportunity, though, to worship with you here in Pahrump. It's good to see so many have come this morning to give God his due reverence, praise, and adoration. I want to thank the brothers for leading our worship service, for our prayers, for our fine song service, and your participation and engagement as well. I was here last month. It seems like it was a really long time ago. we were with you in worship and fellowship, and we had a potluck. And, you know, since then, I traveled to Florida for business, only to have that trip cut short by Hurricane Ian. So I obviously returned unharmed, but let's continue to keep our brothers and sisters in prayer whose lives were impacted so profoundly by the storm and its aftermath. I will tell you, fortunately for my family, my church family in Eatonville, Florida, it was little more than a few days of power disruption, but they are all doing well, they're all healthy, they're all accounted for, but there are so many in those communities that need our prayer, so if you would continue to uplift them. That would be appreciated, I'm sure. We also learned, since we were last amongst you, I saw it in the bulletin, that God has a blessing with my name on it that will be coming and making appearance this spring. My wife is pregnant. We found that out since I was last before you. Apparently our baby-rearing days are not over. Looks like Abraham and Sarah, God has decided he has another idea. So we are definitely blessed. And I'd ask if you would please pray for my wife, Kaylin, that her burden be light as God continues to bless our family. Also, since I was last before you, I saw them up here. But this week, I got another blessing, the Christian Chronicle. How many of you subscribe to the Christian Chronicle? It's a very encouraging, it's an international newspaper that's published for the Church of Christ, by the Church of Christ.
True.
So I see some copies up here. But I often find, it's at no cost.
Yeah.
So whether you get the printed edition or you read it online, I often find both engaging and encouraging articles in it. One of the editors came out this past spring and they wrote a story about our Lads to Leaders event in North Las Vegas. But I often just really enjoy the content, you know, as they don't really shy away from pulling punches on touchy issues impacting those of us in the body of Christ. This month, in particular, it caught my eye. It got me to change my message after I read it this month. With election season upon us, what they did is they collected a broad range of perspectives and advice from across the ministry with the midterms near. Right? And some people just clenched up. Right? That's why they concentrated the issue. There was a feature on a congregation in Central Ohio. It's on page 3. That has had multiple challenges in a community where their politics, it describes, range from light red to dark red to darker red. And the editorial board wrote a scathing rebuke and warning of reducing scripture to partisan political arguments. Right? I thought it was really good. But my favorite part of it was actually a group of ministry leaders sharing observations on why are some Christians so angry ahead of voting. So that's not going to be my sermon this morning, but it's worth the read. This is my plug for take some time, find out what's going on in the body, whether it's in your local community or in the nation. It is encouraging, and you can draw inspiration from it. Leader after leader in here is urging their congregation to stop focusing on the donkey or the elephant, but instead on the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Right? We must not allow this season to divide or discourage us, and we must love and treat others with respect with whom we disagree.
Amen.
Not all going to cast the same ballot.
That's right.
Right? But when Peter was preaching to the brethren in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, he said, brethren,
yes, sir.
Give diligence to your calling and election. Sure. He was referencing your calling to help bring lost souls to Christ.
That's right.
You're electing to spend your time, your energy, and your effort doing the will of the Father. For the Lord placed your salvation in the hands of the Lamb. Not the elephant or the donkey. His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Don't get so tied up in control of the Senate, the governorship, the so-called Supreme Court. Right? That you lose sight of our Lord reigning supreme. Right? Young people are often ridiculed for not paying enough attention to politics. But I believe they're on to something that we ought to give heed to, as they rarely let it divide them in their community. But it doesn't mean they don't. So, for my message this morning, I'm going to return to a topic you've heard from before. Because I was reflecting on it this week as I was reading this, and I was like, I guess this is why my grandfather used to do it. My grandfather preached for 2 decades, I suppose, in the Gem Street Church of Christ. And intermittently, when I'd actually listen, I kept clips of like similar sermons, and I was like, I know I've heard him say that before. I don't pay attention every Sunday, but I'm pretty sure he said that before. And then I was preparing this message this week, and I was like, I think I'm going to say something I've actually said before. So, because I think it needs to be preached again. And that's part of God's word, right? Like, so if you start to get deja vu a little bit in this message, you have heard it, with parts of it before, particularly from me. I'm going to return to a topic that needs to be preached again.
Right.
So let me ask you this morning, church, what you hear the words community, immunity, and opportunity,
all right,
what do they all have in common?
Unity.
There you go.
Unity.
Unity.
Amen.
That's going to be my topic this morning.
Amen.
Unity. When I was last before you, we discussed,
yes, sir,
our adversary, the devil, employs various strategies against us daily. We talked about the Lord separating the wheat from the chaff, right? And this morning we're going to focus a bit in the beginning on the vision. As the Bible teaches that the church doesn't belong to us.
Amen.
And if it doesn't belong to us,
yes, sir,
who does the church belong to?
Jesus.
There we go. In Colossians, you can read this for yourself. In chapter 1,
yes, sir,
Colossians chapter 1, turn your Bibles with me. If anyone's in need of a Bible, we can certainly get you one. But in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, tells us about Jesus. Tells us the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers of authority, all things have been created through him and for him. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist or hold together. And verse 18, and he is the head of the body.
Yes, sir.
The church.
Yes, sir.
Right? He is the beginning and the firstborn from amongst the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy or preeminence, if you're reading it from the King James.
Mm-hmm.
So who does the church belong to?
Christ.
Christ. Jesus. And when we're baptized, who are we baptized into?
Christ.
Christ. Jesus. Right, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28 puts it this way. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves
with Christ.
There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave, nor free, male,
nor female,
for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
he was preaching that sermon today, he might throw in there, you are neither Republican, nor Democrat,
or independent,
conservative, nor liberal.
Right? Come on, preacher.
We got a couple more genders than male than female. You know, but that's the point Paul is trying to make here. Unity within the body.
That's right. Right?
Not unity within the world. That's not what Paul's preaching. Paul's not under the suspicion that the world is going to decide to have unity. But when I was baptized and I was added to the body of Christ, I was not baptized into a local congregation. Mm-hmm. When you were baptized into the body of Christ, you weren't baptized into a local congregation. The building doesn't go to heaven.
That's right. Amen, preacher.
It's only a place to worship.
Yeah.
You were baptized into Christ.
Amen.
You were buried with Christ. You were raised with Christ. And now you live in Christ.
Amen.
And because of that, we're all one
in Christ.
In Christ.
Amen.
Why do you think Paul wrote in verse 28, neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female? In those times, Jews didn't meet with Greeks.
That's right.
Slaves didn't mingle with free people.
That's right.
This was back when we had genders, males and females. One of the ways we become divided is through senseless criticism of one another. Paul spoke to the church on this in Romans. So turn with me to Romans chapter 14.
Yes, sir.
All right, he speaks in it in great length, and we're going to use this analogy and chew on it for a minute.
That's true.
All right, in Romans chapter 14, all right, I'm going to read parts of it from the easy to read to try and help digest it. But if you're reading it from the King James, I promise you it's still there. Romans chapter 14. As you open up that chapter, it opens in the easy to read, that verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to accept those who still have doubts about what believers can do.
Mm-hmm.
And don't argue with them about their different ideas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This statement that it opens with actually summarizes the whole idea he's trying to convey in this chapter. But he then goes on to use a particular illustration in verses 2 down through about 19. So it makes for a long read. But the illustration is useful for our growth. So I'm going to read through it again from the easy to read as you try and follow. Verse 2, some people believe they can eat any kind of food. But those who have doubts eat only vegetables. Those who know they can eat any kind of food must not feel that they're better than those who eat only vegetables.
Amen.
And those who eat only vegetables must not decide that those who eat all foods are wrong.
Amen.
God has accepted them. Verse 4, you cannot judge the servants of someone else. Their own master decides if they're doing right or wrong. And the Lord's servants will be right because the Lord is able to make them right.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might believe that one day is more important than another. And others might believe that every day is the same. Everyone should be sure about their beliefs in their own minds. Those who think one day is more important than other days are doing that for the Lord. And those who eat all kinds of food are doing that for the Lord. Yes, they give thanks to God for that food. And those who refuse to eat some foods do that for the Lord, and they also give thanks to God. We don't live or die just for ourselves, do we? Verse 8. If we live, we're living for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if we die, we are dying for the Lord.
Amen.
So living or dying, we belong to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Christ died and rose from death to live again, so that he can be Lord over all those who have died and those who are living. So why do you judge, verse 10, why do you judge your brother or sister in Christ?
Amen.
Why do you think that you are better than they are?
Amen.
We will all stand before God, amen, and he will judge us all.
Amen.
Yes, the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, everyone will bow before me, everyone will say that I am God. Verse 12. So each of us will have to explain to God about the things we do. Verse 13. So we should stop judging each other. Let's decide not to do anything that will cause a problem for a brother or sister,
amen,
or hurt their faith.
Amen.
I know that there is no food that is wrong to eat. The Lord Jesus is the one who convinced me of that. But if someone believes that something is wrong, then it is wrong for that person. If you hurt the faith of your brother or sister because of something you eat, you're not really following the way of love. Don't destroy anyone's faith by eating something they think is wrong.
Okay.
Christ died for them. Don't allow what is good for you to become something they say is evil. In God's kingdom, what we eat and drink is not important. Here is what is important.
Come on, man.
A right way of life, peace,
yes,
and joy, all from the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. In verse 17. Almost done. Verse 18. Whoever serves Christ is by living this way is pleasing God, and they will be accepted by others.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try as hard as we can,
mm-hmm,
to do what will bring peace.
Yes,
let's,
sir,
do whatever will help each other grow stronger,
amen,
in faith.
Amen.
Verse 19.
Amen.
Right? Strive for unity.
Yes.
Strive for peace.
Yes, sir.
We have to take that step. At times, we believe we've matured beyond such superficial conflicts driving division amongst us.
Oh, no.
Right? We believe we would never argue over diet like these
trivial things
amongst them.
Yes, sir.
Right? But then we have these seasons where we're all wrapped up. And whether the red team or the blue team is going to control, and whether Cortez Mastio or Laxalt, or whether it's going to be Sisolak, or it's going to be, who's the other fellow, Lombardo. What are we doing? Those things are not to drive division amongst us. It's not all national or statewide. We get into our own local tensions too. And Paul isn't addressing here conflicts arising from spiritual matters, or false teachers, or apostasy, right? It's clear. Like, there is some times where we have some healthy, that's what our Bible study is really about, right?
Sure.
Let's have some healthy discussion about the role of music inside of worship. Let's have discussions around spiritual matters,
right?
But that's not, at times, what is sowing division amongst us. Right, and what creates separation from our brothers and sisters, right, and who we engage with, and who we stop engaging with, because did you know that they, right?
Come on.
What is that about? He's talking about our everyday disputes and differences of opinion in this chapter, right? Ephesians chapter 4,
yes, sir,
right, verses 1 through 6 bears some study. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 is where Paul writes the church at Ephesus.
Yes.
So as a prisoner for the Lord, I beg you to live the way God's people should live, because he chose you to be his.
That's right.
Always be humble and gentle. Be patient,
yes,
and
sir,
accept each other with love. Verse 2. Verse 3. You are joined together with peace through the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Do all you can to continue as you are, letting peace hold you together.
Yes.
Verse 4. There is one body,
one spirit,
even as you are called in one hope of your calling.
One Lord.
There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all who rules over everyone. He works through all of us and in all of us.
Yes.
Right? We went from Colossians to Galatians to Romans to Ephesians.
Yes.
And in each instance, Paul found it meaningful to preach unity.
Yes, sir.
All right? The Bible repeatedly tells us that we not only have one faith, one Lord, and one baptism, but we also have one law that Jesus expects us to obey.
Yes.
You know what the one law is?
Love to love one another.
Jesus said in John 13, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And in the next verse, Jesus says, by this, everyone will know you are my disciples. That's your calling card.
Yes, sir.
That's the way you're going to be recognized when you're shining your light throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what's going to make you the peculiar people.
Yes.
Right? That's what sets you apart from the crowd.
Amen.
Right? By this they will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Not because we're all going to sing the same thing and cast our same ballot in a month. We're not. What are we talking about? Like, we're not expected to. No one expects you to.
That's right.
Right? We're going to set ourselves apart, and the world is going to recognize us because we're going to continue to love one another no matter what the outcome is.
That's right.
30 days from now.
That's right.
Right? You know, at times in that chapter, in John chapter 13, right, we miss at times an important event that had happened earlier in that chapter. Right? When Jesus, in that particular encounter, gathered with his disciples for the Last Supper, they moved through the Passover ritual, whether you're reading it from Matthew chapter 26 or here in John, right? They moved through the Passover ritual, this last gathering, in startling fashion, right? And in that last Passover, right, if you're in John chapter 13, right, where we read that command, but part of what you see kind of there in verses 12 through 20, right? You see him interrupt the proceedings, the progress of the meal, getting up in the middle of it, and washing their feet. We think of that as an odd way for the guest of honor to act during a final meal or a meal with friends. But in those days, foot washing,
come on, preacher,
right? And these days was considered so degrading that a master could not require it of a Jewish slave. But in this one act, Jesus symbolically overturns the order of the day. Right? When he says, love one another.
Yes.
Right? And then he washes their feet.
Yeah.
Right? Because we'll say we love one another.
Yeah. Come on,
just don't ask me to do nothing. Don't ask me to make any sacrifice that puts me out and puts me in a position where people are going to look at me a little bit.
Come on, preacher.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus washes their feet. And in this one act, if we just follow this example of Jesus, we have to recognize following the example of Jesus isn't necessarily easy when we're truly seeking Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus says, for I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Take the opportunity to support one another in a spirit of love.
Amen.
You cannot love one another if you haven't immunized yourself, right, against more than COVID-19. Right? Right? But also do that one.
Yeah.
Right? Against selfishness.
Yes.
Right? Against hatred.
Yes, sir.
Bigotry.
Yeah.
Prejudice.
Yeah.
narrow-mindedness. Man has had that tendency to be self-centered since Genesis. Right, that's what we were talking about this morning in our Bible study, reading the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Right, they wanted to build something, and it's not like you have to get all the way to chapter 11 to find them being self-centered.
That's
right, we have to recognize that that is a trap, right, that our adversary often lies for us, that we have that tendency, but we're capable of breaking that tendency. For us, nothing is impossible, because
right.
for the Lord, nothing is impossible. Right? So I hope that when you leave out of here this morning, you've increased your understanding of God's word as pertains to unity.
Mm.
And if you're here this morning and you want to become a child of God,
amen,
and learn more about the Church of Christ,
yes,
understand that you're already on your way.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're not as far off from being in the good graces of God's mercy and grace as you think you are. God's word tells us that faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Furthermore, God's word tells us that he that comes to God must believe that God is.
Yes, sir.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently
seek him.
Seek him.
Yes, sir.
Right, we've been talking about unity. You have to diligently seek unity.
Amen. Come on, preacher.
Right? You don't accidentally
yes,
come together and get everybody on one page, moving in the same direction.
Yes.
Right? There are those who are seeking to separate and cause discord.
Yes,
and we've been called upon to seek
unity.
To seek bringing lost souls to Christ.
Yeah.
To seek those who are struggling. And lift them up.
Yes, sir.
Help them bear their burden.
Right?
So, seek those, and God has promised that he will be a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That belief is necessary, but it's not enough.
Yeah.
You must repent.
Amen.
You must turn away from the actions you know are displeasing to God.
Yes, sir.
Right? Then confess Christ to be your Lord and Savior,
amen,
and we can baptize you this morning into the body of Christ too, so you can start your walk with the Lord. If there's any that are here amongst us this morning that are in the body of Christ, but you recognize you haven't been living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord,
all right,
you haven't been prioritizing the Lamb, right? You've gotten yourself a little bit too caught up. And I get it, right? Like, it's round-the-clock media coverage on every channel.
Yeah.
Right? It's in every time you open up your mailbox.
Yes.
It's all over the place.
Yes.
Right? Telling you, this is the most important election of your life. Right? The most important election of your life is whether you decide to hand your life over to Christ.
Amen.
Bottom line. And once you have handed your life over to Christ,
yes,
your commitment and the support of others to help you stay on that path,
that's right,
so that you can be found pleasing in the ways of the Lord. So if you've gotten off track and you're in the body and you haven't been living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, thank God for his mercy and grace and start over this morning. Repent, come back to doing the will of the Father,
right,
while together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Amen.